To Washington now, and the race for the nomination to challenge President Barack Obama in 2012. The Republicans have a new frontrunner. Newt Gingrich is leading the field. After last week's visit to Australia, it's been a return to the political reality of Washington for Barack Obama. I think a return with a thud, you could say, with this week's failure of the Congressional Super Committee to strike a deal on $1.2 trillion in budget cuts. EJ Dion joins us from Washington. EJ, hello again.
Good to be with you. I think the president would love to go back to Australia at this point. It was a very nice place to be compared to here.
Warmly welcomed and a lot simpler here, I think. You certainly picked him last time we spoke, EJ. Newt Gingrich is back.
Right, he is indeed. And I think what you have is an odd kind of game on the Republican side where there are sort of four conservatives. There's like little balls in a Powerball game, which is a sort of gambling game here. And every so often a new conservative pops up. There's about half the Republican Party that wants somebody more conservative than Mitt Romney, perhaps even more. And one conservative gets dominant, then makes a big mistake. Rick Perry made a number of them. Herman Cain got caught up in those sexual harassment charges. So now it's Newt's turn. And obviously he's been around so long that his flaws are well known to Republicans. But he's done this mostly through extremely strong debate performances. If you look at the Republican candidates in debates, probably the three best debaters have been Mitt Romney, who's been extremely disciplined, Rick Santorum, who is way back in the pack, but is a former senator and speaks very well, and Newt Gingrich, who is willing sometimes to say outrageous things, but he says them pretty well. And so the conservatives have now identified Gingrich as perhaps the guy who can beat Romney. So he is floating around at the top in some of these polls for now, but given the way this game has gone, no one is quite certain that he's going to stay up there all that long.
Well, that's right. I mean, they're moving around a lot, as you say, but he went into this debate. There's been a lot of debates. This one was on national security and foreign policy. He went in there with the benefit of being ahead in the polls. So he had that fillip, that political capital, and he risked a bit of it, didn't he, when he came out with his stance on immigration, perhaps a stance that surprised people when he said he favoured allowing illegal immigrants who have lived in the US for many years to stay. He said we should be humane and allow people to stay here with their families. Was that a surprise?
Right, and that turns out at this moment not to be a very popular position among a very large number of Republican primary voters. What Gingrich said was, in a sense, commonsensical. We have somewhere between 11 and 13 million illegal immigrants here. Many of them are very well established. They have jobs, as Gingrich pointed out. They have jobs, families. They belong to churches. They're embedded in their communities. They pay taxes. And all he said, he didn't say that they should get citizenship, which many people, I would say myself included in the long run, believe has to happen eventually. He didn't even say that. All he said is we can't expect to deport all these people. And I think that's going to cause him some trouble because in the party, as I said, there's a very strong feeling against immigration, particularly illegal immigration. I think Australians will be familiar with the power of immigration politics. And Rick Perry did the same thing because he had supported a program to allow the children of children who had come here, people who had come here as children as illegal immigrants, to get help in going to university. And this really brought him a lot of attack from the right end of the Republican Party.
Though Newt Gingrich put it in the sort of the terms, the basic terms that Republicans would relate to, he says the party that says it's the party of family must do this. If you've been here 25 years, you've got three kids, two grandkids, you know, what are you going to do to the family? You're going to separate them, uproot them, force them out. So whether that might get him anywhere. But what about the other contenders? What are they saying about immigration? Mitt Romney, for instance, what was his answer to this?
Well, Romney's old position, I mean, you know, one of Romney's problems in the race is that he has changed his position on a number of questions. Romney seemed more sympathetic to immigration reform, which would eventually mean letting a lot of these illegal immigrants stay here in the U.S. But he really went hard after Rick Perry, and I think he will use this to try to burnish his credentials on the right against Gingrich. Michelle Bachmann went at him. So I think his more So Romney will go at him, and so will his fellow members of the conservative, more conservative contingent in the party.
This debate coincides with the failure of the Congressional Super Committee to agree to those $1.2 trillion worth of budget cuts. This is really a failure of the political system, isn't it? But it seems like no one's got the answer to it.
Right. It's really what you have is a very clear split between the two parties, and one party controls the White House and sort of controls the Senate, and the other party controls the House. The Republicans simply do not want to raise taxes on the well-to-do. They did finally put a little bit of revenue on the table in the end to solve the budget problem, but it wasn't very much, and they coupled it with actual tax cuts at the high, you know, for high income people. The Democrats say we're willing to make cuts in programs, but those cuts have to be accompanied by a substantial increase in revenue and taxes, particularly on the well-off. It's a big difference between the two parties, and it's going to be fought out in our election. The reason this isn't the large event that the fight over the debt ceiling was is back then the United States was risking defaulting on its loans, and it would have been a terrible mess for the United States if that had happened. And so the Obama administration actually made some substantial concessions. This time there's no great danger lurking out there. The failure of the super committee will kick in $1.2 trillion in cuts in a mixture of defense and domestic programs. But those cuts don't even take effect until January of 2013. So Congress, in principle, has plenty of time to work out these differences. They may end up doing them after the 2012 election.
Well, and just on that, I mean, just on that, given this looks like gridlock in the American Parliament, just briefly, recent polls said that a lot of Americans hold Obama responsible, but also a lot hold both sides responsible, a pox on both your houses. Any sense that this kind of gridlock might change the way people vote in the next election to make sure one party has dominance?
President Obama seemed rather cheerful because he believes, you know, and if you look at the polls, I think he has a point, that most Americans want to raise taxes on the wealthy as part of a solution to our deficit. And so his view is, if he fights an election that says, I'm not going to just cut programs, I also am going to insist on revenue from the wealthy, he thinks he can win on that. And I think it's that's a plausible argument.
Okay, EJ, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to let you go now and get those turkeys ready for Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, EJ. EJ Dionne, a columnist with The Washington Post. It's 2 minutes to 7.